Excellent.
So again, welcome everybody. It's nice, no matter what you ever do in your life, to be able to learn to settle the mind down, to give it some peace and quiet. Because once you feel that peace and quiet inside of you, that gives you like rest, a place where you can allow your brain to re-energize. I know we all have to do many things in our life. Life is very busy and much is asked of us. Even if you're an old monk, you still have to work hard. But nevertheless, at least you don't have to work your brain hard. I remember just being before I was a monk, one of the things I did was a school teacher. And in the psychology of education, all the kids needed that, you know, break between lessons, the play time, the lunch time, the afternoon break, recess they used to call it. But we needed that because the brain refuses to work at a reasonable rate continuously. We do need a break. That's one of the reasons why you find if you know how to take a break, be able to meditate, it's a huge asset to you. You can work hard and without getting stressed. Okay, this is a simile, but I haven't found a better one yet. You know, the story of how heavy is the cup? And the answer is not actually if you put it on a weighing machine and find out how many grams it is, but the longer you hold it, the heavier it feels. It's the experience of it. It gets really heavy if you keep on holding it. So what we do, we don't keep on holding it. When it's too heavy to bear comfortably, we just put it down, we rest. And that's the thing which most people in this world don't know how to do, to put things down, to rest. But you can try it for yourself. After 1, 2, 3, 4 minutes even, just that little, you pick it up afterwards and it feels lighter. And that experience means that you've rested your brain. And when you've rested your brain afterwards, it can work much more efficiently, and whatever it does, it's far more productive. I know this myself because sometimes, you know, as a spiritual director of this mob, is that right to call it a mob? It's kind of Australian, isn't it? But anyway, that sometimes you have to write emails, settle problems or whatever it is, and then sometimes my brain gets really exhausted. So what I do, I find some method, whatever, to go into my cave, which is where I live, and no one knows what I'm up to in there, so I can lock the door and just let go for half an hour or an hour to meditate. When after I do that, my mind is just really bright afterwards. It's energized. If I have got an email to write, I can get some new ideas. The words come easily. You don't have to force the mind, which means you get a lot of work done in a short amount of time, of good quality. That's one of the reasons why learning how to rest is something our world has forgotten how to do. You know, used to, Australia, we used to have what's called smokos when people were at work. We can't smoke anymore, but at least that idea of like a smoko did mean that people had, you know, a few minutes to rest and not do any work. I don't know what people do these days instead of the smoko. Either they just have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. That's a wonderful thing to be able to do because it means you just put aside the job you were doing and just allow the mind to rest. And after it rests, it recharges. And after it recharges, you can use it again far more efficiently. So this meditation we do here is not just to become enlightened. It's not just to overcome the difficulties of life and to feel just no more valued inside because you can find some peace there. It's also that when you go out there into the world, you can actually perform so much better. And if any of you have any difficulty, you know, finding time to come to this center on a Saturday afternoon, maybe you may have a family and say, you can't go off to your Buddhism in this Saturday afternoon. There's so much shopping to do. You've got to do the gardening. you've got to do this and do that. Stop just, you know, thinking for yourself and just meditating. Sometimes they say that, but afterwards, what happens when you really learn how to be peaceful? You become a far more congenial person, a better person to live with. In our group at Armidale many years ago, a couple of women told me such a similar story. It was a Tuesday evening, it was a time to come for the meditation session. They'd just come home from work and they said to their kids, "Kids, I'm not going to meditation tonight, I'm tired. I've had a very busy day at work." And the little kids said, Mummy, you have to go to meditation. "I don't feel like it, I'm tired." "Mummy, you must go to meditation." "But I don't want to." "Mummy, go to meditation." "Why?" And the kids, only about 5 or 6 or 7 or some of that age, replied, "Because, Mummy, you're a much nicer mummy after you come home from meditation." Even the kids would know that. That's what happens when you learn how to relax, rest, and get rid of that stress. Because when that happens, then you get very peaceful. And much more, that word, congenial, easy to get on with. And that was so important in many of our workplaces these days, that I remember just being on a flight from somewhere to somewhere, and I read an article about this hotel over in Bangkok, the Oriental Hotel, very old hotel on the river, and it just won the award that year for the Best Hotel in the World award. And they asked the manager, "Now, can you share some of the reasons why you think this won that award?" And the manager said, "Well, actually, all my staff, no matter what religion they are, no matter what rank in the company they are, whether just the cleaners or the head chef, I send them every year at the hotel's expense for 1 week retreat at a Buddhist monastery. We pay for everything. It's not taken off their holidays. This is like part of their work. They have to go to retreat for 1 week. And they come back so much more relaxed, so much more peaceful, so much more efficient, that that's why our hotel has a much better rapport with our guests. If you are peaceful and kind, and someone comes to complain about something, it's easy to deal with. And your peace and understanding can solve so many problems." So that's how the Oriental Hotel in Bangkok won the best award. So when you go home on Monday, when you go to work, have an appointment with your CEO and say, "Can you please send me and pay for it a retreat at Java Grove at the monastery? It's been proven. It improves my performance at work. And you must pay for it." I don't think they'd get away with that, but you can see that there's some meaning behind that. It does help enormously, which is one of the reasons why it's worthwhile coming on these Saturday afternoons and learning how to meditate, learning how to be peaceful for the benefit and happiness of all the people who have to put up with you. And also for your own happiness as well. So it works. So anyway, I think you understand that meditation works, but now is actually how do you do it? And this is a deeper question, a deeper answer. You don't do meditation. You get out of the way and let it happen. We're just having some talks, the last couple of Friday night talks and the talk to the monks on Wednesday, about how do you let go. You can't let go. If you're doing something, you're not letting go. You just be in this moment and just observe what's happening with care, opening the door of your heart to this moment, letting it be, and enjoying this moment. That's called letting go. You're not trying to get rid of things. Even when people have this idea, the mind wanders off, starts thinking about all these things in the past, which has nothing to do with the present moment. All the unfinished work at home, all the jobs you have to do when you go to work on Monday, all the stuff which you have to decide at the AGM in 1 hour's time. All that stuff, that's not happening now. Why do you bother yourself with it? After a while, we learn to letting go of the past and future is achieved by having more appreciation of this present moment. When you love this moment, I mean really mean love it, much more than the future of the past. The future and the past has no means of getting inside of you. This present moment is where you belong. You care for it, you enjoy it. And the past and the future cannot really come in. You're replacing it with something which is far more valuable. And the letting go of all those words and descriptions of thoughts, when you appreciate silence more. I'm a monk, so just that's one of the things I love very deeply, the silence. Just on Friday, there was many visitors coming from Kuala Lumpur, from a group where I've been going to teach them for years and years. And so they wanted to see my cave. And I said, well, why do you live in a cave? Because it's silent. Even in the cave, you can't hear any of the birds when they fly overhead, the cockatoos. You can't hear the wind. You can't hear any traffic. You can hear only silence. And I love that silence. I appreciate it so much that when you have the opportunity, for me anyway, to be in a cave, or for you to be in here and to shut your eyes and just be in this moment, softly, kindly, relaxed. You don't need to disturb the silence by naming things or saying something. You appreciate the silence more. It's more beautiful. And you understand much more in silence than you ever will do in words. All the words get close to the truth, but they never actually penetrate the truth. The words miss the meaning. They get close, but not close enough. In silence, you know what's happening. You don't need to give it a name. You don't need to think about it. You're peaceful. So when you love the silence, when you learn to really appreciate this moment, then everything else is let go of. It happens naturally. You're here because it's the best place to be. That means you don't put any effort into this. It happens naturally. And then you have some wonderful meditations which surprise you. Okay, so I'm going to finish there. I never actually said at the beginning, if anybody has come here today for the introduction to meditation class, that class is being held in the room to my right. This is the ongoing class. which goes on and on and on and on and on. But no, we will finish at 4 o'clock because we have a quick time for questions and then we do the registration for our AGM. Okay, so if you'd like to get yourselves comfortable and then we can start the meditation. Oh my goodness. Okay, I've already got some questions for afterwards, but please, can I tell those people listening, no more questions, because I won't have time for more than about 2 or 3 questions, because our AGM has to begin afterwards. So we close our eyes.
Could I have a cushion? Oh, I'll go on here, sorry. I found one. Okay.
Just making sure I had a cushion under my bottom. So you close your eyes. And I always do this body awareness at the beginning. I found it very helpful, and others find it helpful too. It's an easy way of developing some present moment awareness, because the feelings in your body only exist in this present moment. You can't really feel how your body's going to be. And any discomfort, itches or aches, if it's in the past, we get some kind of idea about them, but it's not really clear. Real feelings in the body only exist in the present. So first of all, I just feel the whole body, trying to relax it as much as I can, making sure it's in a reasonably good meditation position. But I don't stop there. Once it's reasonably good, I go much deeper, become more refined by being aware of each part of my body in turn, one by one, and relaxing these parts of my body as I proceed. And I start with my feet, even my toes. I feel my toes. I can pick up the sensations in my toes. It's like I'm saying, toes, how do you feel? When you ask questions like that of your own body and you learn how to listen quietly, you get an answer. Just my right big toe was a bit squashed, so I'm going to move it. Better. And I can pick up the sensations in my toes. I'm patient enough to wait until I can experience how my toes feel. It's a bit cool, but comfortable. And that feeling of relaxation which I can now experience in my toes is delightful, it's enjoyable, it's pleasant to observe. And that delight in what you're doing allows the mind to let go of everything else. If I'm watching this pleasant sensation in my toes, I don't need to think of all the other jobs I'm supposed to do later. And then I move up to the rest of my feet. I can feel the soles of my feet and the heels, and the uppers. The uppers feel very nice, there's no pressure on them. And just, for me, I call it tingling, a pleasant sort of sensation which I can perceive in the top part of my feet. My feet are pretty at ease. And I go up to my ankles. Experience as much sensations as I can in that part of my body. I have sprained ankles in the past, but now my ankles feel pretty much happy, rested, at ease, no problem at all. If I do perceive any problem, and the problem is just like an unusual sensation, a tightness or an achiness, a pressure, what I do is just keep focusing on it and give this wonderful kindness. Like if you're a mother, like reading a story to your kid at night. The story is not so important, the fact the mother with a kind voice is telling the kid that. And your child relaxes, feels safe. When he relaxes, your kid can go fast asleep. That's similar to what I do to my ankles. Really kind to them. And then they relax. And when they relax, it's like any tightness or pressure, any aches, vanishes. And I can move on. And move up the calves of my legs. Not just the muscles, but the skin and the bones as well. Feeling them. And if any of you suffer from arthritis, sometimes that can be an inflammation which causes pressure somewhere and blocks energy flows. Just by knowing it and caring for it, not being afraid of it, not trying to get rid of it, which is tension, but just opening the door of your mind to what you are aware of. The unconditional mindfulness, what I usually call kindfulness, being kindful to your own knees. And because I watch my knees often, they have a special feeling. Not unpleasant, but I can still relax that feeling a little bit more. It kind of shows that I care for my knees. And then I go past those knees, once they are relaxed, up to the thighs. So many muscles there. You can feel how those muscles are right now. Doesn't matter how relaxed they may be, I can still relax them a little bit more, just with kindness. And this becomes quite a pleasant exercise for me, because I relax, as I relax things, everything feels much easier and pleasant. And my legs become still, they're comfortable. I don't need to keep adjusting them anymore. And then I move up to the butt. And I can feel the pressure on that butt against the cushion. I'm not concerned about that because my only job is to try and even out that pressure over the whole bottom, not just one part of it. Because when it's spread out, it becomes even. And because it's even, I know it will quickly disappear. as I move up my body from my butt to my waist, as I'm going to move further up, that feeling in the butt will disappear. Because I notice the mind, the brain as well, only notices things which change. If it's a constant feeling, it soon disappears from your perception. I go up to my waist, and this is where I do a quick body stretch. I love doing this. Just all these pleasure chemicals get secreted into my bloodstream. It's a nice stretch. And then I let go. Where my body finishes, especially my back finishes, that's where it will stay. And I go up from my torso, bottom of my torso, up the body, slowly, scanning the kindfulness up the body from the bottom through all of the digestive tract, which feels fine today, up to the stomach, which also feels nice and comfortable. Because as a monk I only eat in the morning time, this time of day everything's at ease there. And my body is only used to eating in the morning. So everything is just like parked quietly, comfortably in my stomach and intestines. I go further up to my lungs. I'm not quite sure where those lungs are. I know roughly, but if I feel any problem there, again I will relax to the max. I always trust that my lungs know how to breathe much better than I do. I can be busy doing something else, and just the right amount of air comes into my body when it's needed. Which means I don't tell the lungs what to do. I just am kindful as I watch the air come in and out, relaxing to the max. I go up from the lungs, past the heart, and any other organs in the back, relaxing all the way. Until I feel even my torso start to become so at ease, it too feels pleasant. And I'm aware of that pleasant feeling of a relaxed body. Because when I'm aware of the delight, the pleasure of bodily relaxation, I find the body relaxes even more. It's like it's tasting this pleasure and it wants more. And it moves towards more relaxation automatically. And then I move up to the shoulders. And then when you get to those shoulders, I don't know about yours, but mine are always a little bit tense. I can feel that. So one way I relax my shoulders is just tensing them up first of all, squashing them up, scrunching them. And when they're scrunched to the max, then I let go. And I find when you do that little method, very quick, very simple, the shoulders become more relaxed than when I started. It's like rolling a ball up a hill, and when you let it go, it goes much further than where you started, much further downhill. My shoulders are more relaxed than when I started scrunching them. And I go down my arms. My arms always seem comfortable. So I go quite quickly down there. Even though they feel comfortable, I always check on everything just to make sure. The upper arms are at ease. Elbows at ease. I just relax them a bit more now. Forearms really comfortable. I can feel the sensations in the arms. Once I do that, you just know how to let go a bit more and they get more comfortable. I get to my hands. Most meditations I discover my hands aren't comfortable, but today they are. So hands and fingers, I'm going to leave you like that. My body often surprises me. Again, it knows better than I know how to relax. I just give it that kindness and that freedom. Open the door of my mindfulness to what's going on there, and it relaxes automatically. And then having relaxed my arms to the fingertips, I go up to the body, to the neck. I always notice, in meditation especially, because you are still, you're not moving, that if I don't put my head in a proper position on my neck, I'll get neck ache and back ache. So this time I've moved my head back and forward to the left and to the right, just to make sure I can find an optimum position for balancing my head on top of my neck. When I do, I will leave it there. And then lastly, I go up to my head and to the front of my face, where I become aware of the muscles around my eyes, my nose, my mouth. My forehead is always quite relaxed, but if you have tension there, be aware of it and then give it kindness. It's not hard to learn how to relax the muscles in one's face. You experiment, or they sometimes call trial and error. And mindfulness allows you to notice the feedback. When I do this, sometimes the feeling around my nose gets tighter. When I do something else, it loosens up. So where I relax my face. And of course, those tensions and tightness in the face, a lot of that comes from the emotional world. So learning how to relax your facial muscles also assists relaxing your mind. And once again, it feels pleasant, for me anyway. And that allows me to stay relaxed. I literally enjoy it. And I let go of all those things interrupting the enjoyment of a relaxed face. Again, natural, not what you do, but what you incline towards. And then I take my whole body as a unit and aware of it. If I find any part which still needs to be adjusted, I will do that, I will adjust it. The kindness has to be paramount, even more important than the mindfulness. The two do need to go together. I just enjoy having a relaxed body at the start of meditation. And you will notice if you enjoy the sensation in this moment. You tend to not be able to think about the past problems or the future anxieties. the present is too enjoyable. And the feelings in your body, it's hard to give them names. You also tend to be silent, to know without giving things a name. To go from the intellectual world of names to the emotional world of knowing. And I just enjoy that for a minute. The joy of having a body at ease. Because that too makes the body more relaxed. And then I move to my mind. At this point I just ask myself, how peaceful are you? What does peace feel like? Peace is also very delightful. It feels like you're free from the prisons we make of our life. You're here, still, and peaceful, free of worries and concerns. It's a rest. And once you start experience the joy of peace, that can be enormously delightful. It allows the peace to establish itself more firmly in your mind. And the silence, that usually comes by itself. When you're enjoying the peace, there's nothing much to say or to think about. You don't analyze the joy of peace. You just experience it. And it's more than satisfactory. And once that is strong, you may notice that restlessness, wanting, mostly disappears. The mind doesn't want to wander off because it's too enjoyable being here. And this is where you may start the breath meditation. Just aware what your breath is up to. Not controlling it, but just experiencing it. A lot of times you just let the breath come to you. If the breath is not really prominent, then just stay with the peace and the silence. That is enjoyable enough. And you see what happens. I'm now going to be quiet for the next 20-25 minutes. it is getting close to the end of the meditation. Please keep your eyes closed and keep still for another couple of minutes. And just to check how you feel. How is the state of peace inside your mind? How do you feel? Is peace really beautiful? Delightful? And as you check your body, how does your body feel? Usually, peace is just so wonderful to experience. Especially when you know it not as a theory, but direct touching it. And it makes your body really relax very deeply. So when you start coming out of the meditation, it's like parts of the body don't want to move. But they realize they have to. I'm now going to ring the gong 3 times. When the gong finishes sounding for that 3rd time, that's the signal to open your eyes to end the meditation. So now we are going to just answer a few questions. But for those people who outside, please don't come in yet, because at 7:15 I'm going to ask everybody to walk out so that we can make sure that the only people who come in are those who are registered for the AGM. So please know in 15 minutes I'll ask everyone to leave. And I'll go out myself too. But for the questions, we got the questions from overseas, I'll answer first of all. This is from Germany. I never had any deep states in meditation, not even nimittas, even less now since I had 2 operations. Is it still good enough just to meditate even if there is no progress? Of course. Even just ordinary meditation still relaxes your body and allows the healing to happen after those operations. And you experience that as a truth for yourself. I'm not selling meditation. If you notice it, it gets so much more peaceful. And don't ever think that you want to attain nimittas or the deep meditations. These are things which happen naturally. You can't avoid them. So my advice to you is just keep on meditating. And sometimes when you're sitting there nice and peacefully, where you don't want anything in the whole world, you may start to notice the beautiful lights in the mind. And you'll be surprised. They happen naturally. They don't depend on a person's ability or lack of ability. They're natural states of the mind. A question from Kazakhstan. Please tell me, is it possible to achieve jhana using metta? Yes. Without previous development of mindfulness of breathing? Yes. A metta meditation, if you want to develop it into the jhanas, you develop this wonderful feeling for all beings and for oneself included. May all beings be happy and well. What does that actually mean? What does it feel like? And what you do is you develop this perception of loving kindness. And a lot of times, just how the mind perceives that becomes a beautiful light. It's usually the golden light. It's just how the mind just perceives this mental object of loving kindness. And when that starts to happen, it's very easy to stay with. So see, it's very simple just to keep watching that nimitta of loving kindness, and it grows into a beautiful nimitta. And you take that into the jhanas. That's a classic way of entering a jhana. In Indonesia, hello Ajahn, what is the difference between letting go and being lazy versus letting go in Buddhism, as both have letting go in it? How do you first finally understand the idea of letting go? If it's being lazy, it develops a state of dullness. And the mind afterwards is kind of hazy. It doesn't enjoy the life. But when you learn how to do the Buddhist letting go, like the letting go of the past and the future, the delight in the present moment, the letting go of all this thinking and conceptualizing, putting things into words and names, you let that go and you're silent. It's like the mind wakes up. You experience some beautiful, peaceful states of meditation. And the classic test to see whether this was being lazy or whether this was letting go is what we call the afterglow of meditation. You've had a nice meditation, afterwards you feel so joyful, so happy. And the mind is very clear. And you can start to enjoy things. Just like, you know, the sunlight shining on the wooden bench outside or on somebody's car in the distance. When that starts to reflect, it can look gorgeous. If you've been lazy, you can't even keep your awareness on that very long. You see it as boring. When the mind is empowered, things become so much more beautiful. Once again, I just quoted William Blake. I kept on getting the times wrong when he lived. It was actually in the late 18th century, early 19th century. And this was the first lines of his poem, Augur to Innocence. And there was actually basically no one knew about it for years. It was published after he died. And it was to see a world in a grain of sand, a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, an eternity in an hour. It's a beautiful, how can you do that? And the only way you can do that is if you're very, very peaceful and very still, and your mind has been empowered. Okay, I did say for three questions, and those are the three questions from overseas. Are there any questions from here? Going, going, gone. Okay, so now we can pay respects to the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha, and then I'll ask everybody to leave. So we can now register for our annual general meeting. Sorry for making this short, but that's the only way we can do it to make a good AGM.